Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TIC FM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Erin Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Ellen Katz. She is Vice President of Utilities at Tilson and former State Consumer Counsel. We are talking this morning about bridging the digital divide. Good morning to you, Ellen.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you again, Erin.
Well, first of all, tell us what Tilson does and tell us about your role there.
Sure. Tilson is on a mission to build America's information infrastructure, which means that we are building all kinds of broadband networks, telecommunication networks. We build 5G. We build wired and what we call wired and fixed wireless. And we also consult with communities and municipalities and states and companies that are looking at the solutions, trying to help figure out how to solve a particular problem. So I call us a soup to nuts company because we can come in at the beginning of the problem, help you figure out what the solutions are, build the solutions, and even help operate it, a particular network if that's helpful. You know, I came to this position from my prior position as consumer counsel for the state, where, you know, you and I talked many times, because I'm vice president of utilities here, because I think there's a lot of actions that utilities can take, particularly our electric utilities, to support broadband deployment into unserved areas, because our utilities have poles and wires to every single house, and they know how to deliver. They know how to deliver essential services, and more than ever, we see that broadband is an essential service. So looking at the solution lens through the utility perspective as well.
Give us a snapshot of what the landscape looks like now when it comes to internet connectivity in Connecticut. For many people, it's either the phone company or the cable company.
Right. It's either the phone company or the cable company, and it really depends on where you live. I mean, when I was consumer counsel, we did studies that showed that people had very limited options in surprising places, like certain areas of downtown Hartford where your only option may be a line from the phone company that can only provide you with the functional equivalent of a DSL dial-up modem. And then there's businesses in parts of Hartford, and these tend to be some of the low-income urban centers where both individual consumers and businesses struggle to conduct their daily lives at a level because of a lack of really reliable, affordable, high-speed access. And of course, there's been a lot of attention on the rural digital divide around the country, and that's also true in Connecticut. We've got our quiet corners where people don't have, you know, we believe it or not, there are places in Connecticut, thousands of consumers who don't have access to any sort of wireless or wired broadband solution other than maybe a cell phone or a particularly slow DSL modem or DSL line.
When you do have connectivity in Connecticut, how do the speeds stack up against elsewhere in the country and elsewhere around the world?
Let's talk about Connecticut in the context of the United States. And remember, I haven't been in a public position in a year and a half, so my knowledge reflects that. But you know, I've learned a tremendous amount being in the private sector about how to actually build networks and what it takes. And compared to the rest of the country, you know, Connecticut is one of the most or more wired states, but that doesn't mean everybody is satisfied or connected, right? And then the United States as a whole does struggle when you compare to other developed nations where it can be easier to get high-speed access. I'll give you an example. Two summers ago, I was in the fjords of Norway on a boat, and Norway has invested in connectivity, high-speed connectivity throughout its country. And I was in the middle of a fjord, you know, a deep chasm on a boat, and I had full bars on my cell phone the whole time. So that's where I would like to see the United States get to, where everybody has access all the time, and it's not a question of I live in a place or I'm driving through a part of town where I can't access anything or very little. And I will just say, you know, we didn't solve the problem with electricity until we decided as a nation that we were going to put in the time and the effort and the money to make sure every citizen had connectivity, was connected to electricity. And that was in the, you know, the 1920s. It was called the Rural Electrification Project. And I think it's time for a broadband project, because we need to get everybody connected.
So how do you build out a network like that? Are you going to be using the electrical lines? Do you string new lines on the poles, or do you use 5G, or is it all of the above?
I don't think there's a silver bullet here. I think it's a combination of every solution. We need to bring every different entity to the table and talk about, there's first the larger goal of, all right, do we all agree everybody needs to be connected? They need to be connected at a high speed. We need to agree what that speed is. And we need to make sure affordability is in there. You know, I can access a Ferrari if I have enough money, but that doesn't mean I can truly access it. It's the same thing, you know, if it's going to cost you an extraordinary amount to get broadband access, then you haven't really solved the problem for most citizens. So, you know, I want to start by making sure, you know, we give our existing providers credit. They've continued to invest in Connecticut, but what I've learned, and so, you know, they're part of the solution. And I think we want to continue to work with them and make sure they're upgrading their networks. We're supporting those upgrades as a state to the extent we can. But what I've learned in the private sector is that it's very expensive to build broadband networks to a lot of these unserved areas, because it costs a lot. The capital expense can be very high. And then once you reach everybody's house, there may not be all that many customers in rural parts such that you can necessarily support the operating expense. So we need to make sure we're looking at it as an interconnected system where like we do with electricity, right? If you live at the end of a, if you live in a rural part of Connecticut, you don't have to pay more for electricity, right? We sort of made a decision as a society that everyone is going to support connecting everybody else. I think that's where we need to go in broadband, but it's a little different because we don't have one regulated or two regulated electric broadband providers like we do with electricity. So it's going to take some creativity, and it's going to take lots of different players being at the table, all sort of rowing in the same direction. But I believe Connecticut can do it. I think we are poised to make some enormous steps right now.
What lessons has the pandemic taught us about internet connectivity?
I think it has reinforced just how vital it is. And it's also highlighted just how severe the digital divide is in our country. There are many, many, let's talk about the schools, because I think that's where we felt it most immediately when we saw the shutdown last March, which is we said to all children, you got to learn online. We're closing down the schools. And we saw how many children don't have access to adequate connectivity, don't have affordable access, can't afford it, and may not have the equipment, the hardware, the laptop they need to interface with their school. And we've never said as a nation that if your parents can't afford to buy you books, you don't get an education. And to me, that's kind of functionally what we're saying at this moment in time when we're directing children to learn online and not ensuring that every child has the same level of access. And I will add that there's been a lot of hard work and creative solutions by the different districts and the state of Connecticut to address that problem. It's, you know, there's some short-term solutions that have been implemented, like Wi-Fi enabled laptops. But that's not, I don't think, a long-term solution, because there's monthly costs associated with that that can be quite high. So if there's a lesson coming out of the pandemic that I'm happy to see everybody talking about, it's that, you know, I've advocated for years that we have an extraordinary digital divide that we're not appreciating, and we're not appreciating the impact. And I think now the whole world is feeling that. And I would add that just because you have connectivity through a provider right now doesn't necessarily even mean that it's enough for your needs going forward. You know, there's a lot of people who are relying on their cable line, and when their two children jump on a Zoom call with different teachers and they're trying to connect with work, it's just not working. And that can be a problem throughout Connecticut. So throughout the country, whether you live in a city or a suburb or the country or, a rural area, you're not necessarily have access to adequate bandwidth. So that's another element in solving this problem. It's, we need everyone connected, but then we need to agree on what they need to be connected at what speed.
We've seen during the pandemic the state using federal stimulus money to buy internet connections for students so they can learn remotely. Do you see that sticking around after the pandemic in some form, given that it seems that distance learning isn't going to go away on things for like snow days and things like that?
Yeah, and I'm not sure. First of all, yes, the state has used the what they call the CARES Act, the stimulus money, to provide solutions for students to connect immediately, like right now. And I think it's absolutely appropriate. We see a lot of other states doing it. But Connecticut and other states are also like looking at longer term solutions. There may be circumstances where that's a Wi-Fi enabled laptop, where you're sort of paying for the wireless service, is going to be the long-term solution. But if you had, say, four children living in one household, or even three children living in one household, and you look at the cost per child for a wireless connectivity, in the long term, it may be more efficient to come up with a wired solution, to find a way to bring broadband closer to the home.
You're listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Ellen Katz. She is Vice President of Utilities at Tilson and former State Consumer Counsel. You wrote an op-ed recently about the most recent federal stimulus bill and how there was some excitement for a moment when it included money to help build out a more robust broadband network, but then that fizzled, right?
Yes. The stimulus bill that was the latest one that was passed towards the end of December, it initially had an enormous amount of money, like $6 billion for block grants to the states. And each state would get, as table stakes, $100 million. $100 million per state to spend as a state sees fit on solving its digital divide. And then there was additional money behind that that would be going to each state based on income levels and need. And so it would have been 100 plus for every single state. And those of us who work in the broadband industry, whether you're an advocate or a company that's responding to need and building networks like Tilson is, there was an enormous level of excitement about that. We were all just sort of imagining what we could do with that kind of federal money, and it would go very far to closing Connecticut's digital divide. Unfortunately, at the last minute, it was cut out, and there are no longer the block grants to the states. We are hopeful that there are allies, legislators in Congress who will continue to advocate for that, because that would be transformational. That would be the equivalent of the rural electrification project that we saw at the beginning of the 19th century, 20th century. Because it's like I said, what I've learned from being on in the private sector is it's expensive. And so we need capital to do this. And we need partners who can be creative and come to the table and all achieve this goal of universal access. So, but I'm hopeful. Like, I think we can do this. I think we are in the best position we've been to find a solution right now, because everyone is aware of it. I expect that the Connecticut legislature will be taking up this issue and, again, looking at transformational initiatives. It's going to continue to be talked about at the federal level, and like I said, I'm hopeful that the pandemic makes us all realize just how dependent we are on the internet and what we can do, the levers we all can pull to solve the problem.
Is there one jurisdiction in Connecticut or someplace in the country that has this right, where they have a robust broadband network that can be used as an example to build it out elsewhere?
Well, I think there's lots of municipalities who have invested in networks, whether it's through the provider level or through municipal action. We've seen a lot of state action, but I wouldn't say I can't name a state where everyone is connected. But the example that everybody talks about is Chattanooga, Tennessee, where the municipal electric company invested federal money to create a fiber network, which means you can operate at the highest speeds throughout the city of Chattanooga, and it was transformational. Chattanooga is one of the hotspots now for high-tech startups, because they've got cheap high-speed broadband and they have all kinds of business incubators. And it's one example. There's other examples, but it's probably the most well-known example of how you can really change the economics of a community at the educational level, at the working from home, telehealth. Think of all the things that are enabled if everybody has access to unlimited bandwidth. It's a great incubator. It's a great example of that.
Have there been communities in Connecticut that are making strides toward that goal? I know there have been some companies that have started to make inroads in some communities in the state and offering an alternative to the traditional sources of internet.
There's sort of two levels to that question. There's companies that are, let's call them upstarts, that are entering into the ecosystem where they're providing alternatives, where maybe they're just providing high-speed internet. There's a company called GoNet Speed. I live in West Hartford, Connecticut. I know they're in West Hartford, Connecticut. They're in certain parts of West Hartford where they are getting a tremendous take rate, I understand. And they offer something like a gigabit of service for, last I heard, it was like $70 a month for life. There's also existing providers. Frontier has invested in fiber in some communities. And that has been really transformational, I think, for the people that have access to it. Comcast is updating their technology where they're able to bring higher speeds into your home through, it's called DOCSIS 3.0 technology. The issue is the upgrades go where there's the most demand. Because they're economic companies that need to operate based on a profit, so they're investing in areas, and so those are possible solutions. But we're also seeing at the state and local level, we're seeing a lot of leadership by municipalities. There's a coalition in the northwest corner of 26 communities that have, like Corning and Cornwall and Sharon, Connecticut, this group of communities that have banded together to create something called Northwest Connect. And they're bringing sort of the economies of scale by advocating for they're looking for solutions collectively that will bring down the cost rather than trying to deal with, six different small towns trying to find their own solution. They're working together. And I would also note that there are a number of wireless providers that are investing in 5G. Verizon is doing a major build in Connecticut. We do a lot of work for Verizon on investing 5G upgrades. And so that's going to be exciting as well. So that's why I say we're going to need all these solutions on the table to solve the larger problem.
Often government lags behind technology. Is that the situation here? Should the internet be regulated like a utility, or at least an internet service?
That's the $64,000 question, to use an old analogy. I think those in the industry would say, I'll share my personal opinion, which is I'm not sure that we need, I don't see us heading toward a rate regulated system like we do with our electric utilities. But I do think government has a role in ensuring that every consumer has access. And whether that's, now we're doing it through incentives, we're providing, we, the federal government, for example, and a lot of state governments are providing competitive grants for companies to go build in unserved areas. So that is one model, and that's proven to be helpful. I personally would like to get more money into the hands of the states, because if you want to know who isn't connected in your community, you ask the mayor, who hears from the constituents on a particular street who don't have good connectivity. You ask the school superintendent or the teachers. They know what students are struggling to get connected. You talk to the Rotary Club or the Chamber of Commerce. They know the businesses that are struggling. And so we need to get to that level of grassroots knowledge to figure out what the solutions are. And that's why I think I'm a big advocate for putting more money in the form of block grants in the hands of the states, and then ultimately in the hands of the municipalities to work with both existing and new providers to solve the digital divide, and also provide the necessary upgrades to ensure that we keep up, right? Just because you've got, it's adequate now, it may not be adequate next year. A lot of people found that what they had a year ago was adequate. Now that everybody's working from home, speeds aren't adequate. And so we need to create a model that allows us to continually upgrade to meet what will definitely be an increasing need for more and more and more demand as we go forward.
In our last minute or so, if someone is hearing this and thinking to themselves, well, I'm not satisfied with my internet connection, is there a place they can go to figure out what is available in their area?
You know, there is not one great source. You can, people tend to know what's available, like whether it's Comcast or Frontier or Charter or Atlantic Broadband. You want to start with your existing providers and see if they have upgrades available. A lot of times there's tiered pricing. So maybe you're paying for one level of pricing, but you need higher speed and you're willing to make the investment in additional, in the additional tier to upgrade available speeds. But you may well find that what you have is the best that's available in your neighborhood, in which case then you need, that is when you need to start talking to your mayor or your first selectman, advocating for, you know, letting them know that you have an issue. We are seeing, like I said, talk to your legislators. We are seeing, we are expecting to see some sort of legislation proposals in at the Connecticut legislature this year. I don't know what they're going to be, but I know there's some things coming. But first and foremost, we need to know where the needs are. And that comes from people raising their voices, because there is not one uniform mapping system in the country right now. And we don't necessarily even know from a broader perspective where the greatest, we know where pockets of needs are, but we don't necessarily know down to the house level, the premises level, that, oh my gosh, this whole street doesn't have, has inadequate options.
She is Ellen Katz, Vice President of Utilities at Tilson and former State Consumer Counsel. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Aaron. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.